Greetings. Another non-phone call video voicemail. Anyway, hi, it's Sunday, and there's two wows that I wanted to share with my family. I want to share with my wife. One was I went, I have this need. It's just an innate need to at least do a marathon a week of aggressive walking. So I figured one more trip to Publix would take care of that 7 miles. And so I decided to take off, and I did it. I left here. It was just roughly 3 o'clock, I think just slightly before. And so I figured I'd give myself, a 2 hour window to allow for some casual time, perhaps some conversation or something of that nature. However, I left at again, just before 3, and I did a good pace, and I have to cross 25th Street, which is the a four-lane road. It's the only major intersection I have to deal with, and I'm on the secondary street, so the odds of me getting across immediately are, should be less than 50%, but I think in the Lord's grace, usually I get across without stopping. Today, both directions, without stopping, I just went straight through. So there was no delays there, I decided on the way back, because it's slightly under 7 miles, in order to make it the full 7 miles, I sometimes do this additional hill when I get home. And I did it actually yesterday, and at a modest rate going up the hill. It's a 120-foot incline. The last about half of it, the last half of the height, is about at a 50% grade. So yesterday I did it at a modest pace. Today, I did it really fast. So when I got to the top, so I did the whole trip, and when I got to the store, I did have to stop at the bathroom, so maybe that hurried me on. But all I did was grab, bananas, avocados, cheese, butter, and at the register and out. It was crowded, but I ended up being, very quick at the register. So the amount of time shopping was not that much. But again, I figure, a 2 hour window. And I got back home, looked at the clock. It was 4:24, and I thought, what? So I did the trip. Yes, the shopping and whatnot went fast, but it appears I did it in about 90 minutes. In other words, I walked 7 miles at about 4.7 miles an hour. This puts me in the rarefied atmosphere of, less than 1% of people of any age can do that kind of speed. And one of the things I thought about is that would be a really big deal if my wife cared. Years ago, because Chris was my friend Chris brought it up, the movie Spider-Man. Near the end, after all the things that had happened, there was a call. Somebody was in trouble, and whoever, the Spider-Man, the guy, his girlfriend, whatever her name is, the comment was, "Go get him, Tiger." And we talked about that, and then of course they showed that in the movie how he went with vigor to go to whatever the help somebody in distress. The encouragement of your lady makes all the difference in the world. I don't doubt there's plenty of room for me to make 5 miles an hour without a problem for 7 miles. I've had a goal of trying to do a 10-mile hike in 2 hours, and I got fairly close, but I haven't made it yet. I'm pretty sure I could. Motivated. Problem is, who cares? And it is a big problem. But it also brought to mind, because one really enjoyable movie, speaking of movies, was Chariots of Fire. And, you know, we had a slight draw to it because it's an enjoyable movie and so forth. And the when we were at Westover Church in Greensboro, we once met a gentleman who, Eric Little, whatever, one of the main characters in the movie, when he went back to China, you know, he went there as a missionary and obviously impacted a lot of people. And one of the people he impacted showed up at Westover and gave us a speech, you know, a talk about it, which is kind of like, it brings you a little bit closer. You know, it's kind of like, this is not just a story, this is real. This is a person who was impacted by this. So it was really kind of neat. But there's a scene in the movie, early in the movie, and I have the disc, but I don't have the disc, I have it on my hard drive. His sister makes the comment about, you know, there's someone else saying about the way he runs. And she says, yes, I see how well he runs, but I've also seen him with a Bible in his hands. And that's more important. That's what her words. And, you know, in the same vein, I wonder if my wife would take joy in the fact that I can walk like crazy. But the other aspect is the intensity, the joy I'm finding in Scripture. It's been fantastic. And I wanted to bring up the other wow, besides the speed of the walk today. I often use 1 Peter 3:15 because I think it's one of the pivotal verses. You know, in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that is within you, and do it with gentleness and respect. You know, because there are so many things that are important in that. You know, it's not just be ready to give an answer. This is the apologia, where we get the idea of apologetics, but it's to anyone who asks, an important aspect. The gentleness and respect is an important aspect. And what are you defending? That in your heart you've honored Christ the Lord as holy. That is your purpose. My focus I set apart Christ in my heart, and I value him. But then there's the verse before, verse 14. But even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. That's the ESV. And it's kind of like, okay, because with my friend Chris, we actually reviewed that. Because if you go to the LSV, but if you also should suffer because of righteousness, you're blessed. And then exclamation point. And then it's in the same verse, the next sentence. For the rest of the chapter is one sentence. But anyway, the rest of that verse is, and do not be afraid of their fear, nor be troubled. And I studied that for the last couple of days. Do not be afraid of their fear. And you can see the same thing in Isaiah 8:12. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. And do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. That's ESV for the Isaiah passage. But it's the idea of do not fear what they fear. Or the 1 Peter 3:15, 14. Do not, in the LSV, do not be afraid of their fear. And I tried to, because this is slightly more complicated than some of the other words that have, you know, when I've reviewed things like episkopos, it's a lot more clear and straightforward. This is a little bit more difficult. No, this is a lot more difficult in the understanding. So when I look at, I looked at about 2-3 dozen translations to see, because it is, you know, like the ESV, have no fear of them, that kind of sentiment. And there are several with the idea of do not be afraid of their fear, which I would suggest, again, is consistent with the Isaiah, do not fear what they fear. And there's an important thing here to see the difference is it's in the one where the ESV reading is, you know, if you look at the context, if you suffer righteousness at stake, you're suffering at the hands of somebody else. Do not fear them. So it's okay, I'm not supposed to fear somebody that may be wanting to do something that scares me, that causes me harm or something of that nature. That's one translation of that verse. The other translation, which I think is more accurate, we see in the LSV and we see in the ESV version of the Isaiah passage. Do not be afraid of their fear. In other words, what the world fears, what they are in dread of, we have no fear. It's not something we're concerned about. I do not fear what the world fears, which is consistent with Isaiah. Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. And I think this is important. We, in the dialogue today and yesterday as we reviewed this, it brought such joy. Because the fear of, oh, the economy, the fear of, oh, there are rumblings of war, oh, there's the fear of COVID-19, or there's the fear of, this political thing, the fear of war, the fear of this. No. There is no fear of that. If in your heart you honor Christ as the Lord, your Lord, the Kurios or Yahweh, the person who commands you and controls you. If I look at Jesus as my authority, and not only of the authority of me, but the authority of everything, it's to him and him alone I look to. I don't fear, oh no, the Democrats are going to do this, the Republicans are going to do that. I don't fear that at all. I don't fear, oh, there's the virus, oh, there's this sickness, oh, there are these evil people doing these evil things. I don't fear that at all. Because, you know, and the thing that's fascinating is phobos, where we get, you know, phobia and things of that nature. Various forms of that word are used constantly in this, in 1 Timothy 3, over and over and over again. It really is amazing because, you know, you back up, the wives and husbands passage at the beginning. ESV, verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you her children, if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Again, it's the phobos idea. And I try to understand, because I'm trying to, it's not quite the same thing. In this, because the words are a little different, so I'm still, you know, because fear anything that's frightening is not quite the same as the verse 14. Have no fear of them idea in the ESV or the LSV, whom the Lord, you could become daughters, doing good, not fearing any terror. This is the LSV version of verse 6. It's not fearing something that's fearful in a sense, or scary or things of that nature. I saw some other translations, but it's fascinating to me as a follower of Christ. We don't fear the Lord. You know, have no fear of the Lord. You know, don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear those, the one who can, you know, send you to hell. He's the only one to fear. And that's a respectful fear. Again, you know, what I've described before, there's the fear, which you usually see the in various versions of the phobos or for the phobia and whatnot, which is the also frequently you'll see it respect. There's the dialos, which seems to be more of the fear of the known. I respect this, and the fear of the unknown. I'm scared. I don't know what to expect. And that's why the dialos is frequently translated as coward. So my fear, my respect is to the Lord. You know, as I've described before, when I take a hike and I stand there at a cliff, you know, I have that picture of me. Well, I have the picture of where we're standing at the top of a Buzzard Point, and it's 120 feet straight down. And it may be the place where this one gentleman, a few weeks or a week before or after whatever that we were on Big Frog, he was at the top of there and apparently fell to his death. There's a respect for that. It's not, oh no, I don't know what'll happen. I know what'll happen, so I don't jump off. And that's why I did jumping jacks at the top of there. But I have enough respect to say, no, I'm not going to do something that's beyond my ability, so I don't go to the edge and I don't, peer over, because I have a respect for that, even though I have a joy of being up there. But at the same time, I have a respect for the Lord, because I know He's the one who's in control. In my heart, I honor Christ the Lord as holy. So I have a respect for Him. If there's a panic in the world for this, that, or the other, my trust is in the Lord. And I want to inspire my kids to be the same. My kids, I'm biased. I strive to encourage others. I go out of my way to engage young people. My kids are logically younger than their dad, me. I want to inspire you because I'm biased. I have a love for you that's unlike my love for the people I meet. But I have a love for you. And I want you to not be afraid of anything that's frightening. I want you to do not fear what they fear. It is my desire that in your heart you will honor Christ the Lord as holy. You will set Him apart because He's the one who's in control of your life. I don't know how to get that across to you, but I'm going to continue to try, and that's why I decided to do yet another video. So it's there. Understanding that, yeah, you probably won't see this, but I tried. See, that's the one really big difference you'll see in your dad, unfortunately, compared to your mom, your in-laws, institutional church leadership. I'm trying to communicate. They plug their ears, close their hearts, and hide. Which, as I described, as I contend from Scripture, the Scripture describes that as cold-hearted killers. Unambiguously. But there's grace. And I'm hoping for that grace. And I'm going to continue to pursue that. So, my kids especially. My wife too, but my kids especially. Do not be afraid of their fear. Please. Do not be afraid of what the world is afraid of. And I hope it would be delightful. Especially if I could do it with somebody. I did a 7-mile hike today. At about 4.7 miles an hour, including, I did one hill twice, in two different directions, and another hill once. So I did three hills, and one was about 80 feet up, I think, 80 to 100. The other was 120 feet up, because I've checked these in topo maps. And I don't slow down going up hills. I slow down going down hills. Yeah, but I did it at that speed, and I'm 65. Can you do it? Some of my kids will probably have or be near my height. So you should be able to reach that. 7 miles in 90 minutes or less. And strive for the goal that I have. Do 10 miles in 2 hours. 9 miles in 2 hours is just commonplace. I do that. Anytime I do my 9-mile hike, I'm doing more often 7-mile lately. So 9 miles maybe every other week, but a 9-mile hike, it's 2 hours. I hope you can do that. My lady, my kids, my family, I love you.